Hello and welcome to the Sex Magic series. Today I am talking with Miko Lau. She's a sex and relationship expert for women. And I really connected with her because we have very similar journeys on reclaiming our sexy. And I wanted her to come in here and share her experience. And, you know, what does this concept of like reclaiming your sexy look like? What does it mean? Like, what is that journey and like why it's so worthwhile to reclaiming that piece of yourself? So hello, Miko. I'm so excited you're here.
Hi, Jen, and hi, everyone, for tuning in. I'm so honored to be here today.
Awesome. Yeah, so like, I'd love for you to share a little bit of your journey, like why you got started. Like, what was that drive within your heart that you finally said, like, I'm taking this leap, and like, what started to like unravel for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And before I jump into that, I do want to take a moment to just celebrate everyone that is dedicating time to jump on here today. I always believe that by dedicating time to listen to a series like this beautiful series that Jen have put together, it's a radical act of self-love. So thank you for being here. And to answer your question, like, where do I even begin, right? Oftentimes when we are on this journey, like, it's so difficult to pinpoint like when exactly did we led to this direction specifically on our paths. But for me, I would say like, I think that ultimately came down to me discovering, getting to the root of what was driving me in my day-to-day life. Like, why was I so ambitious? Why did I had all these big vision to create an empire, to build a business, to create these massive success, to support other women, to even support people in general. And I was just getting curious and diving deep. And at the root of my ambition, I discovered that it was a lack of wholeness. It was a lack of self-love. It was a lack of really unconditionally loving myself. And as I continue to dive even deeper underneath of that, like, where did this lack of wholeness even came from? I started to see an association between my relationship with my sexuality, my relationship with my body, my relationship with intimacy, and not just like physical intimacy, but on every level, emotionally, mentally. All of those were connected to my lack of wholeness. And the more I discovered my journey, the more I also started to see the similarities in the woman that would come to me for relationship support, for challenges in their life. And I always start to see that common thread that when we are disconnected from our sexuality, then there's always that inherent sense of lack of wholeness. Because if we are not connected to this core part of who we are, our life force, our creation energy, then how can we ever possibly feel whole in an embodied sense? So the more I looked at that commonality, the more I went into this path, and I really saw that as the ultimate foundation in which that we can build anything up of. Thriving relationships, thriving success, a business, you know, it is the ultimate foundation. If we don't have that connection to ourselves in that sense, then we have a very wobbly foundation to build up of. So here I am today.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's like, I love how like you were able to make that connection between, you know, intimacy and what you create in your life, like to your sexuality. Because like, I ended up finding the similar thread. It's just initially, like, it started out like me working in corporate, you know, wanting to take a more leadership role there, really wanting to take ownership of what was creating. And no matter what I did, it's like nothing ever seemed to work out, right? And it's like, I felt like I was at this complete and utter dead end. And it took a moment to try to figure out, like you said, like, where is this coming from? Where is this ambition to lead and shape and mold, you know, and like really help direct, you know, someone else's business? Like, where is that coming from? And for me, it was like this mix of like recognizing the power within myself, but also recognizing where I wasn't letting it out, right? So there was this discord within myself where it's like, I knew I could do it, but I would keep holding myself back, right? And it came down to is like, how do I use this creative energy to like create like what I want to see in my life? And you're starting to see that really like I am the owner of everything that I've created in my life, like the good stuff and the bad stuff, right? And it's like, I know we always like we don't want to take credit for the bad stuff because like, that's uncomfortable, but everything is what I was creating. And I know like the one area in my life where I experienced such just like pure and easy like flow of creation was having both of my children. You know, for me, like that was an easy flow. And I know like people experience like easy flows in like different aspects. But then there was this question of like, well, if me creating like little people is so like easy, like how can I bring that elsewhere? Like, how can I really bring this everywhere into my life as opposed to keeping it in this little corner? And, you know, for me, it then turned like, okay, like my sexuality is really like practice with how you create and co-create and really deciphering like that process from like the physical act of sex and creation with little people into like the emotional, you know, creation into spiritual creation, like how all that flows together.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful point that you're bringing up, Jen, because like if we look at this from a broader perspective, like our connection to sexuality, it's our connection to creation energy, because just like how the physical act of sex, we can birth something from the non-physical, from spirit into physical, into life form. So it's the same essence, it's the same energy that we use to bring an idea, to bring a vision into full-blown physical manifestation. So when we are not connected to that sexual side of us, then we're also not connected to this potent energy that can really birth out everything that we desire into our physical reality. So, and I also love that you brought out how there's that sense of ease and that sense of flow when you are being a mother, you birth out these two beautiful children, and you wanted to bring that sense of flow and ease to everything else that you create. And this also goes back down to why I mentioned like our connection to our sexuality is the foundation. Because when we, the way I look at it, for example, like if we see a woman that is very solid in her connection to who she is, to her body, to her sexuality, she just emanates a sense of like radiance and magnetism, a sense of confidence that almost knowing that she can just be here and everything will come to her. It's that energy versus the desperation, the striving, the hustling, the making it happen, which I am so familiar with all that because that was my journey, right? I was like coming from this inherent feeling of something's always missing. So I thought that the external success or the people, the boys, the guys, right, would give me that sense of wholeness. So I was coming from that energy of like always trying to make it happen, always hustling and striving. But the moment I realized that what was missing was that connection to my sexuality. It automatically shifts into me being just this like super center, like me being the magnet versus me being like the chaser. And it also comes down to like, you know, when you are connected and when you feel whole within, then you have that sense of confidence that is not available otherwise.
Right. Yeah. So beautiful. So I guess like the question I have for you, like in that concept of like reclaiming your sexy, like for you, what did that mean? Like, what did you have to reclaim?
Oh, that's a great question. And as the audience may know, I do have a podcast named Reclaim Your Sexy. And I think like it's also important to also set the context of like what does that even mean? Because when we hear the term sexy, that can bring up a lot of stuff for people. Some good, some not so great. And I think it's also so important for us to do a quick check-in and really ask ourselves, like, what is my definition of sexy? Is that divine based on what society has taught me to relate to sexy? Is it based on what it feels good to the men in our lives, right? Is it for the men's pleasure or is it for my own pleasure? So reclaiming your sexy just really been a journey for me to reclaiming what is my birthright, pleasure, being on a path of discovering what makes me feel good, what feels good to my body, and really listening to the body versus listening to the ideas or the beliefs that have been instilled in me by other people. So it's about really unlearning all of the things, the shoulds, the expectations that are so deeply ingrained in my body, letting those go, shedding those shoulds, shedding those expectations, and coming back home to what feels good in my body, what feels good in this moment, what do I want to do, what do I want to experience, and just being devoted to this path of pleasure for my own pleasure.
Yeah, and like that is so magical. And like for me, it took a while to get there. Like I knew that that was the path I was on, but I had like a lot of like internal resistance around it. So like you said, like the unlearning, really the unprogramming from what like society expected. And, you know, for me, like my background is in corporate accounting, right? Which, you know, very, very straight laced, very like yes or no, black or white, like this is how things, you know, should be done. To like the point, like I decided to leave was I was really faced with a choice between providing something for my son to help him like further like his future career, or staying in the job I had where I knew it was giving our family money, right? Like to provide for the family. But my intent at that, like to take that job, was to support my son. So it's like I had to get really honest with myself. It's like, okay, like this job has clearly run its course. But then within me, there was always this conflict of, okay, like, what do I do next, right? And just watching myself, like, replay those patterns, replay those behaviors, right? Like, you know, if you're going to be productive, you need to be up, like, at this time, you know, eat breakfast right away. Like, all these, like, stories that I had versus really understanding how to follow my own internal clock. Mm-hmm. You know, starting to allow myself to, like, wake up naturally with the sun, like, they took the bed, like the alarm clocks out of our bedroom. Like there's no alarm clock waking me up. And really like, just like the small little things, right? So like sometimes like when I hear like sexy, right? We instantly go to sex, right? Like what turns us on, you know, in sex. But for me, the discovery was even the things that happen, you know, beforehand, right? Like how do you start your day? Like how, like for me, it was like, how do I allow myself to wake up and enter the day? You know, am I going to trust like this artificial clock to tell me when it's time to wake up, or am I going to listen to my body? And it's constantly what I've been finding is like a path of trust, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you get to follow your intuition and really like weave that path.
Yeah. I love that you brought out trust, because that was also a huge part of my journey. And I can almost feel into like the woman listening. We live in a society that we were never taught to celebrate and honor our own bodies, so let alone trusting our bodies. It's more so on the flip side. We've been taught to fear our body, right? Fear menstruation, think that the blood is disgusting, or like fearing, you know, embracing our breasts or our booties or whatever. Like the messages are just so unhealthy. We've been taught to fear our own body, so let alone learning how to trust it. For me, my journey of coming back to trusting my body, it's actually when I decided to take on pole fitness, pole dancing, right? And it's like, it's so insane how there are so many different body parts that I just have to trust that it's going to hold me up there, you know, on a spinning pole, and it's not going to drop me and I'm going to fall to the ground, you know, and get hurt. There were so many moments where I just have to trust that my body's got me, even though logically and analytically, it doesn't make sense to the brain, but somehow the body has its own consciousness, had its own wisdom that it's got me. And I really had to learn how to trust that and build that relationship. And the more I trust my body, and that's where the deep intuition and the wisdom really lives in the body. The more we can trust the physical body, the more we can tap into our inner wisdom and our intuition. And it's such a beautiful journey to go on.
Yeah, beautiful. Like, I love that story. So like for you, like really learning how to trust your body, I know you said pole fitness was a huge thing. But getting to that point, right, like taking that step, taking that courageous leap, like what was coming up for you that allowed you to like finally tap into your body's wisdom?
I love that you asked me that because honestly, like, I'm not saying none of my journey has been always rosy and butterflies and sunshines. Like, to be honest, it has been more painful and challenging than it really may seem like to other people because on this path of reclaiming my sexy, it did brought up a lot of the deep, hidden, repressed shame and guilt and just all those yucky emotions and the beliefs that were so taught in me that, and I feel like a lot of that was even ancestral, like it came from my mother's side of the things. And I picked up a lot of those unworthiness and the shame around sexuality. So I really had to feel through and be with all of those things that came to the surface from the dark. And yeah, when I first started pole, obviously there's a lot of those ideas of like, oh, am I trying to be a stripper? You know, like all of those negative, toxic beliefs around like when just like going through, like, am I doing this for other people, for men's pleasure, or am I doing this for myself? So I really had to feel through all of those emotions, really process all of those beliefs that came up for me. And I feel like to this day, it's never like perfect. There's never like this, we got to this point where we are fully cleansed, we're fully purified. Like, this is an everlasting journey. But it's just about how I relate to myself now, how I can like unconditionally and compassionately be with myself through it all, you know, embracing all parts of me, the good, bad, and the ugly, and just allowing that wholeness. Wholeness includes the good and the bad and the ugly, right? Versus like just choosing, I only want the good, I don't want the bad. That's actually like separation. So yeah, it's just been a journey of like learning how to relate to myself on an internal standpoint, versus like trying to get rid of certain parts of me.
Yeah, and I love how you highlighted that because I think we've been so conditioned, right? Where, you know, how can we like create these things? It's an essence of control, right? How can we create things where we only experience the good, but none of the bad? And like, I remember having that thought when I was listening to like the show that was talking about artificial sweeteners, right? The thought behind why they were created, right? Because we wanted all the sweetness, but none of the bad calories, right? Like you want all the things, you know, just like, you know, when they talk about like with your sexual pleasure, and sometimes I refer to it as like the land of milk and honey, right? Where it's like to get honey, there's gonna be bees. Sometimes bees sting, right? To get milk, you know, there's the cow. Cows have horns, you know, so it's like you need all of them, right? And it's like the more. And the brain is going like, well, why can't I just have the good, right? Why can't I just like filter all this stuff out? But it's like, that's where like a lot of the magic is lost.
No, this is a great point. I love all the analogies. I'm a very visual person, so I can totally see that. And like, yeah, on this path, like ultimately the way I look at it is that I'm creating a foundation of pleasure as my baseline. You know, no matter what comes my way, I'm able to meet every experience in life from a place of pleasure. Like, how can I find pleasure even in my deepest pain? How can I experience joy and happiness even when I'm going through the most dark and difficult moments in my life? And that is a muscle, and that is a foundation that every woman can build upon if we know how to tap into that stream of pleasure that is our birthright, that we have been never been taught how to connect to it. But when we cultivate, when we consciously choose to connect to our pleasure, that can be our baseline, that can be our foundation to meet every single life experience. And that is such a juicy, delightful place to be in. And you know, it's just like we can take lives on like in such a more fun and empowering way.
Yeah, so true. And like, and I think that's where we get our power from too, because like I think we've been so taught to view through the lens of pain, right? Life is painful, it's suffering, right? Like we get caught there. There's a lot of commiserating, right, that happens in there. At least I know, like, you know, from my family, there tends to be this thread of like, you know, you commiserate and bond, right, through pain, right? Versus like there's another path, like not saying that there won't be pain, right? It's not saying you only pleasure or only only pain. But like you said, it's like it's finding the pleasure in the pain. And like I always feel into that as like finding that creative thread, right? Finding your creative power like in those moments without rejecting or denying or trying to fix, you know, like all the things that honestly like a human side of ourselves wants to do, right? Because we want things to be joyful and pleasurable and easy. But yeah, like to reclaim your sexy, it's like, and especially with like sex magic, it's like that's where you get to learn to play with all of it. And like, and that's the point where all of a sudden it's like you can start to see like how like raw you really get to be in a lot of these moments.
And I have a background in psychology because that's what I study in my bachelor's degree in Berkeley. And I do believe that our nervous system and our physiology, we are wired to seek out pleasure. But then we grew up in a society and a culture that has been so conditioned as to believe that nothing comes easy or like there's always pain and gain. And we are so bought into that belief. When we can choose a different narrative, we can choose a different paradigm and allow things to be easy. Let it be easy. Let it be fun. Let it be pleasurable. And just try it out. See how things can actually happen, how you can actually gain everything you desire from an easy path, from a flow state, from a pleasurable state versus it gets to be difficult or challenging. Like ultimately, it's always a choice. But it takes a conscious effort because we've been so ingrained in those ideas. So now we have to consciously like almost work like backwards, peeling those beliefs off of ourselves and then coming back to that natural state where we are seeking pleasure, where pleasure feels good. We get to feel good.
Yeah, and I love that. And you know, for me, it's always been, again, back to that exercise and trust, right? You know, because we've been so ingrained that things have to be hard or there's pain in life or, you know, there's been like, for me, like this thread of, you know, you have to work hard and what working hard looks like. And that's a lot of time and effort, right? Which isn't necessarily true. But again, it takes that trust. It takes that faith to really like question a lot of these things, right? Especially at the beginning when you don't have the proof, right? Where maybe like you haven't witnessed that in your own life yet, or you haven't witnessed like in your family's life yet. So it's kind of like you have to trust it's there before you take that step. And like, I'd love to hear like a story from you of like when you came across one of those moments, like what it looked like, right? Like how did you find like the courage and the conviction to like take that leap of faith?
I think this comes back to full circle to what we mentioned before, like when we are not connected to our bodies and our sexuality, a core part of what makes us who we are, then in an embodied way, there's no sense of wholeness. So I feel like when there's that lacking, that feeling of wholeness, there is no way we can trust in our abilities to get what we want or to call in what we desire. There's that lack of like, there's that unworthiness and the undeservedness that is so in the body that subconsciously on a primal level, you can't trust yourself. You can't trust that the universe will deliver what it is that you want. So what's coming to my mind to answer your question right now is I would say like for majority of my journey, I was always so, you know, book smart. I was always like reading all the books. I was always like listening to all the podcasts. I was doing everything from here and up. Like I was developing my mind. I was changing my beliefs, but there wasn't like an embodied sense of like what it means to love myself. Like there was that disconnect. Like I understood the concepts, I understood a lot of the things, but I didn't feel it in my body. I didn't feel whole. I didn't feel like I knew how to love myself. So the moment I created that connection between the mind and the body, that's when I really started to learn, like to feel what it really feels like to trust myself versus to just get like, I should trust myself. I get that. Like I should be, you know, just telling myself these mantras or affirmation. But the moment I do the embodiment work, doing the work to actually connect to the body, that's when everything changed. It almost felt like there's a gate that just opened from like my neck and every concept just dropped into the body. There's that sense of integration. There's that sense of like embodying every truth, every concept that I have learned for so many years. And I finally like know what it's like to love myself. I know what it's like to have worthiness, to have that sense of like deservedness. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's what came to my mind.
Yeah. And like, for me, like what I noticed, it was like, initially it's a choice, right? You get to choose it, you know, yeah. Especially if you don't have that experience beforehand, it becomes a conscious choice to trust this new belief system that you're putting on yourself. Because I think without that, like, that's what makes it difficult to bring it down in your body, because there's a part of yourself that is going, oh, like, I don't know if I really trust that, right? And that's where like a lot of the integration work comes in, where it's like you get to go, okay, I'm deciding to like believe this. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it was like a lot of like little series of, okay, well, if I believe this, how would I show up? How would I respond in my life? What are the choices that I would make? You know, and for me, it's like, it was really turning my life into like a playground, right? And mm-hmm. like, sometimes like it was even like, okay, I made a choice. I thought I was coming from a place of like, right, this trust and believing in myself, you know, reclaiming my sexy. But like throughout like what kind of was coming up and the events that were unfolding, starting to realize like, oh, here's a piece that I didn't realize, or I didn't realize that this was really what was driving my actions. So like a lot of times, like what I tell people is like, you're going to have to trust and play, like trust and play. Obviously like play within the realm that you're comfortable with. So like, I love yoga. I'm also a yoga instructor. And like one of the beneficial things from that practice is it really teaches you how to play with your edge, where you really get to start getting in touch with your body and start to realize like where you're moving into a new space and realizing like when you have to come out of that space. So I almost thinking of it as like, you know, your comfort zone, right? Like your normal operating procedures, you're not being pushed. You're also probably not getting exactly what you want if you don't have it already, but it's like, there's no issues. You can just keep operating in there without too much extra effort. But then there's this stretch, right? This thing that you're reaching for that you really want to get to. And, you know, you start moving towards it and, you know, it feels uncomfortable or it feels scary or you feel afraid, right? I mean, kind of like you mentioned at the beginning, like it doesn't necessarily feel very sexy, right? You're like, what is going on here? Like you get to dance with that edge, right? So it's like, I would never tell anyone just to like fully jump off a cliff, right? If you don't truly believe it, like in your heart and soul, like don't just jump off the cliff, right? Mm-hmm. Start dancing and playing and like stretching yourself, start experimenting. I mean, and that's like a huge act of courage because you don't necessarily know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I would say like, and this is one thing that I really work with every woman that I work with on my one-on-one coaching sessions. It's like, I think the very first key step is really creating an inner ecology of safety. A lot of the reasons why we choose subconsciously or unintentionally choose to disconnect from the body and just be so up here. We are highly intellectual because the society celebrates intellect versus our connection to our body, is that sometimes there's that lack of safety that our body is feeling. There is that primal brain that's constantly on high alert saying that it's not safe to connect. And there's the body is also where past trauma and emotions all also live, right? So there are a lot of things that maybe the body is not ready or the mind doesn't want to feel or to process. So unless we create that inner atmosphere of safety, it is almost impossible for women to take that leap, to take that first choice, to say, I'm going to explore this, right? So being, if at the beginning, you know, that's why I am a huge believer of having external support, like having a coach or having a mentor, having just a sisterhood that you can, that they can really create a safe space for you to explore, for you to drop into your body. That may be your first step, right? Being able to be open to receiving external support is also an act of self-love. It's saying that I deserve this. I get to have this support. I get to invest in myself to receive this safe space from someone who's been through that path before me. And that way you can also have a space for you to learn how to develop that safe space for yourself. So it takes time, but it also, I think like that safety is such an important first step for any woman that are ready to connect to their body, to reclaim their sexy, like that really gets to be the first step.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, and I love that. And I'll just share another analogy just because I know how much you love them. Like, I just like, I picture this tree, right? Where, you know, if you're not rooted, if you're not really grounded, like there's only so far up you can go without either being easily blown over in a wind or, you know, just basically like toppling in on yourself. So it's like that idea of allowing yourself to be very grounded and supported. And yeah, like the biggest thing is, you know, even in yoga, like that's related a lot to the root chakra, right? And that all deals with safety. And, you know, for women, it's like, if you don't feel safe, it makes it that much harder to play.
Yeah, 100%. And we are in a society that is constantly like on this high alert. Like it's almost everyone's living their life as though it's a constant emergency, right? There's always that rush to go somewhere. There's always that thinking about the future, planning for the future. And we are always on that high fight, flight, or freeze mode. There's that these adrenaline and the cortisol that's just pumping through our system. There is no time and space to relax and play in that state. So we really gotta create that inner state of relaxation. I feel like a whole planet just needs time to slow down, to take deep breaths and just relax. Just relax. And that is the place that we can really tap into so much more possibilities versus being so limited. And when we are on that stressful state, yeah, we are limited. We are very linear. We can only see one path versus tapping into that ethereal, that like infinite field of possibilities. Like, and we really got to get back into that place of fun, and we need the safety to tap into the play.
Beautiful. And I think like that's like the one thing that if anyone's going to take away from this session is like, yeah, find a way where you can bring more play, play into your life and like really connect again with that sense of safety. So thank you so much, Miko, for being on here today.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.